You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
About the situation in Iraq, there's a sense of heartbreaking deja vu for officials and former officials in Washington, D.C., who were key players or in some cases architects of the 2003 Iraq invasion and the Bush administration's war on terror. Those officials constitute a gallery of quiet voices, some supportive, some critical of what the Obama administration is doing right now. Todd Zwillick has been soliciting some comments from this gallery. Todd, who have you been speaking to?
Well, John, good to talk to you. I sat down yesterday with Richard Armitage, former Deputy Secretary of State under Colin Powell in the Bush administration. People will remember him. He's a big linebacker guy with glasses, kind of a bald fella. People will remember him as one of the architects of Colin Powell's famously botched weapons of mass destruction speech in front of the Security Council. They'll also remember him as the man who blew the cover of CIA operative Valerie Plame. Well, Richard Armitage, John, has been in the diplomacy and intelligence game for a long time, and I asked him how he views the current crisis in confronting ISIS.
First of all, let's not hyperventilate. This is not a crisis. 24-hour news cycle, 24/7 news cycle makes things a crisis. Fact of the matter is it's a problem, and it's a problem to either be resolved, mitigated, or managed. We ought to be able to do that. But when a president of the United States sets as our goal, we're going to destroy ISIS, that's a bar so high that I don't know if we can reach it. After all, we haven't destroyed Al-Qaeda yet. So I think we need collectively to take a deep breath.
I remember the reports about Armitage handing out huge stacks of cash in Afghanistan to warlords as a way of dealing with Al-Qaeda, winning the hearts and minds back in the early part of the 2000s.
And stay tuned, because we might get to some of that later in this very interview, John. I'm glad you brought that up. But the real point that Armitage and a lot of other experts are making, that airstrikes make the news, airstrikes are spectacular, and airstrikes can kill some leaders. But then your enemy melts into the cities, they melt into the town, and it's about confronting them on the ground. Listen.
The Kurds and the Peshmerga particularly are the boots in Kurdistan, and they will fight for that. They'll be fine. The questions about the Iraqi army, go back to what I said about Syrian moderates. We can equip them, we can train them on tactics, but if we can't inculcate them, the willingness to die for their country, as the other guy apparently is willing to die for his beliefs, then we will ultimately fail.
So the Kurds have a real mission here. The Iraqi army, not so much. I'm wondering if they need a little help from, special ops, the CIA and Pentagon, Navy SEALs, that sort of thing.
Just the kind of thing you want to ask Richard Armitage about, a guy who led covert strike teams all the way back in Vietnam and had a long covert career before his diplomatic career. Well, John, I asked him that very thing. How do you get people who aren't necessarily aligned with our interests to fight for us, to fight with us when they have other priorities? And I asked him about a couple of things that maybe the U.S. could do secretly.
I famously made a mistake in my career by inadvertently naming a CIA operative. I don't think I'll take the occasion of an open mic to talk about what should be done covertly. I think I'll decline the offer to embarrass myself further.
One of the things that made the Sunni Awakening a success is that we made it worth their while and paid them a great deal of money to fight on our side. We need to be doing that with the Free Syrians, I suppose.
To those who are amenable to it, if that will switch a tribal loyalty, that's fine. It worked to some extent in Iraq, and it worked for a while.
So speaking of nations that benefited from the situation in 2003, Iran was said to have really been the coming out real positively after the U.S. invasion of Iraq. I'm wondering if they're a possible mediating force here, and what does Armitage think about the Obama administration's positive comments about Iran at the United Nations?
Richard Armitage said that Iran needs to make a choice about how much influence they want to have in Baghdad with Shiites there versus how much they want to defeat ISIS. He said ultimately that's their choice. Listen.
Look, until Iran reaches a point of view on what they are willing to do in Iraq and what they're willing not to do, then it'll be difficult for us ever to coordinate with them. Talking with Iran is nothing new. And we talked during my time, I personally talked with the present foreign minister, Zarif. We dealt with him on counterterrorism after 9/11 quite a bit. A lot of meetings in Geneva and other places, so there's nothing unusual in that. Actual coordination right now is a bridge too far, and I agree with Secretary Kerry on that. I don't think there's some secret deal being cooked, at least not at present.
And John Armitage said something else that Secretary John Kerry's been saying. It's important for the United States to keep any deals, any secret deals, if there ever were one, separate from what's going on with nuclear talks with Iran. Don't let Iran make lowering sanctions a condition of helping with ISIS. Keep those two tracks separate. Iran wants to merge them right now.
So how long of a game does Armitage think this whole fight with ISIS, this renewed war on terror, is going to be?
Well, you know, I asked him if we weren't likely now to be facing, you know, 5 or 7 years of Yemen or Pakistan-like activity. We bomb ISIS members when they pop up. We drone them where we can. And on the ground, they undertake kind of a low to mid-level insurgency-style war.
That's not a totally unrealistic at all assumption, I think. But remember one thing. That's not all bad. There's still no existential threat to the United States. And that's the key to prevent any of these countries or organizations from becoming an existential threat. The problem with terrorism, and my problem with some of the approach that we've had to it, is although terrorists can't make us change our way of life, our reaction to terrorism can bring about changes to the American way of life that are actually quite detrimental. We have to really be smart and guard against it.
Well, John, you hear from Richard Armitage what you might consider a lot of lessons learned from 2001 and from 2003, the invasion of Iraq, as we look forward to 2014 and a new war in Iraq and Syria.
Some soft-spoken, humble wisdom from Richard Armitage, someone who had a reputation for not being quite so humble when he was with the Bush administration. Todd Zwillick, thanks so much.
Pleasure, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.